Psalm chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. This is going to be broken into three sections. Verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Then here starts the last section. So it's verses 1, 2 through 5, and then 6 through 8. We'll finish out the last section. In verse 6 it says, many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight thanking you, Lord, for your word, what it teaches us, what it shows us. Lord, and it has been, everything that I've been reading and what it's been pointing to is finding peace in you and not in the world. Not in increase, not in the pleasures of the flesh, but Lord, in you. We love you and we thank you tonight for these psalms and how they minister to our heart. Lord, we know that David had to go through these in order that he might write about them. And Lord, I know that that was hard. And so we thank you tonight that we have this example. We have these scriptures. We ask that you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Now let me set this up for you right here. David he's basically in isolation and hiding, and he's got some people with him. And he's running and fleeing from family. And I don't have to get into all that story because we would be here a long time. But just understand that it was people that was supposed to love him that he was running from. And you ever been in that position? Okay, so we know that people that are close to us, a lot of times it hurts and things happen. But before David begins to talk about that and before he goes anywhere else in this psalm, the very first thing that he does is acknowledge the Lord. Before anything else, listen to what he says. Answer me when I call, O God of my salvation, or I want to keep saying salvation, my righteousness. David here in this text, in the heat of despair and in the heat of conflict, his own family was after him. His kingship was in jeopardy. Everything about him was up in the air. And before he looked to himself, before he looked to anything else, take notice. David goes to the Lord first. We see that? He goes to the Lord first. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. This verse is the first section in Psalms chapter 4. This is the first section in this psalm. You're going to see in 2 through 5 where he's going to be speaking to those that oppose him. And then in 6 through 8, he's going to be comforting and talking about the peace that the Lord brings. And so first thing, right off the bat, right out of the gate, David is speaking from experience. And it shows us a path that David had traveled in his heart before. I'm not talking about out here in the world. I'm talking about a path that David knew well. You say, what are you talking about? The path to the Lord. That place where you go to when you need help. See, David had been there before. David had experienced hardship. He had experienced battles. He had experienced trials and tribulations and all the different junk that life could throw at him. And where does he go? But to the Lord. So first things first, this is a well-worn path that David knew. If I know that I can receive counsel from somebody, I would be a fool not to go to that person and receive it, right? So here we have David, we have this man, this king, that he is going to the Lord for counsel. And why? Why is he going to the Lord? Because he had been there before. And when he had been there before, you think that the Lord let him down? Nope. The Lord doesn't do that. So this is what happens. So, and this is how we build faith and build trust and build and work in our salvation. This is how we do it right here. David knew what it was to go to the Lord. He knew what it was when people came against him. He knew conflict firsthand. But what he did is he traveled the familiar road that he knew. And that was a road that led straight to the Lord. Why do you reckon a stray dog will come back after you feed him once? Because he knows where he gets his food at, right? We had a dog not too long ago wander by the house. I told the girls they went outside to go love on it and to go pet it. I got 4 kids, myself and Casey. I got 23 cows. We got a dog. And I said, I don't want another mouth to feed. Don't feed the dog. Please don't feed the dog or it will come back. David knew that he could be fed from the Lord. And so he's like a stray dog. He knows exactly where to go, man. He goes straight back to the Lord. This was a familiar road. This was a familiar path. And every single time the Lord did not let him down, but fed him every time. And this is what we have to realize. We have to realize that the Lord God is good to his people. Good to them. And this is why a stray dog always keeps coming back. Because before long, he ain't stray no more. Amen. He's got family, right? Yes. David knew the path and he knew this familiar road. Now that didn't quite happen with the dog that we have now, Bugsy. Bugsy wandered up at our house. And I told somebody, I said, I don't want dogs. I don't care for dogs. I said, if I can't work one in a field or work one in the woods, I don't have no need for a dog. And the next day, a dog wandered up to the house. This big, by the name of Bugsy. And my kids fell in love with Bugsy. And Bugsy would run over to the church and trip up Miss Martha as she was coming to the... I saw you that morning, by the way. You were like, shoo, dog, shoo. She was jumping on your leg when I was in my office. I could see her. And she was aggravating. And the dog just kept coming back. She would run off, but she knew where to get food. David is doing the exact same thing. He knows where he is going to get his help. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. So we know that this was a familiar road that he had been down in the past. Multiple times. He had went there and he had received wise counsel. Help, strength, peace, and love. David knew that because God was faithful in the past that he would be faithful in David's present state. Whether he had plenty or whether he had nothing, which was the case. He knew that God would sustain him. And so this is why David's ultimate dependence was on God. Second thing that I want you to see about verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Crying out to the Lord also shows us that he fully and wholeheartedly trusted in God's righteousness as his ability to be able to come to him in the first place. Let me explain to you what I mean. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He's talking about his righteousness, but it's not his righteousness that he's talking about really. It's something that's been imputed to him. the righteousness from the Lord. David was confident in the Lord hearing him because David came boldly before the Lord, dressed in the Lord's righteousness. And this is the same pattern in which we pray today, isn't it? Let me explain it to you. How do we pray today? Well, the only way that we can pray today is by coming through the great high priest, right? Yes or no? That's right. We don't go through Mary. We don't go through anybody else. Saint Peter, nobody. Muhammad, any of them. The pattern has not changed any. When David says this, O God of my righteousness, he says, hear me. When we come to the Lord, we come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come through His righteousness. That righteousness hasn't been imputed unto us. It's been accounted to our account. And we come then and we offer our prayers and petitions unto the Lord. The pattern today is no different than what David is here doing. Turn with me to Hebrews in chapter 4 for a moment. Hebrews in chapter 4. We draw close to God through the one that is without sin. The one that is righteous, and His name is Christ Jesus. He went in before us, allowing us, granting us access into the Holy of Holies to be able to boldly present our petitions. Hebrews 4, 14, 15, and 16, talking about this persecution. Listen to what it says. Since then we have had a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And the reason why we can come, because he's without sin. This great high priest that it's talking about. Let us therefore draw near with confidence, just as David was doing, not through David's righteousness, but through the righteousness that had been imputed to David's heart. Listen to what it says. Let us draw therefore near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And this is exactly what David is doing. Verse 1, listen to what it says. Let's go back to Psalms 4 and 1 through 8. We're still on verse 1. I want to give you the position in which David was in. It's going to be something that is hard. It's not really hard to understand when we see it in this light. And I'm going to explain that. It says, Thou hast relieved me in my distress. You ever been distressed?
Amen.
Come on, y'all. Ever been distressed? That's right. This is not anything common. This is not anything new. The idea that David is talking about here is an army that has been pinned down, or a small group of soldiers that have been pinned down, surrounded on every corner, pushed down. This is what he's saying. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. So not only does David have confidence in the Lord because he stood in the Lord's righteousness, but because the Lord had brought him through so much. Yes. And so he cries out to him. And this is the idea. This is what Scripture is speaking about here in this text. A small platoon, or a small group of soldiers that is completely pinned down, no way out, enemy all the way around them. This is where David is. When we find ourselves pinned down, surrounded on every side, with no help in sight, we have looked to what's around us, we have looked to our own selves. David here tells us, just as we know already, that we are to look to the line of the tribe of Judah for help. He is pinned down and he looks to the Lord. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. David is saying, you've delivered me before in impossible circumstances. You'll do it again, Lord. So his direction is straight to the Lord in this first verse. And Paul tells the church this in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Listen to what he says. For we don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively. What does burdened excessively mean? Pinned down. To be burdened excessively. To have all that pressure pushing you down and squeezing you out. Burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. David knew that the Lord would deliver him, and he is calling out to him. And this is what Paul is telling us here in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Have you set your hope on the Lord God Almighty? He has delivered us in the past. He will deliver us in the future. Grief, despair, desperation had overtaken David. He was in a bad spot. So he takes it to the only one that can bring any peace whatsoever. And that was the Lord God Almighty. We talked Sunday about peace. And here in our text, we're going to see peace. But it only comes through crying out to him. That's verse 1. Beginning in verse 2 begins the second section. Oh, I'm not done with verse 1. I'm sorry. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And I love the way this is worded. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. David is speaking as a man that is lowly. He's coming boldly, but he's coming lowly. This is exactly what it means, be gracious. He's coming in lowly unto a highly exalted Lord. He is recognizing him for who he is and his position as sovereign over the universe. He is saying, in other words, bend down here and help me. I am inferior. This is what David is saying. Listen to what it says. Be gracious. This is exactly what it means. Be gracious. To bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. This is what David is asking the Lord to do. Reach down here and help me. I am lowly. I need your help. David recognizes that he is absolutely nothing outside of God's gracious, merciful hand. He says, show favor to me, your pitiful servant. Verse 2 begins the second section of this Psalms 4. And David is going to begin to preach here. He's going to be preaching to those that offend him and those that come against him. Listen to what it says in verse 2. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? Remember, David was a king. The honor that had been placed on him was an anointing by Samuel. He was anointed to be king. He was the king. And he says, why are you treating me with such contempt? What is your problem? So he's speaking to these people. How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? He turns his attention from the Lord and he turns it here to the battle. He doesn't go to the men first, does he? He goes to the Lord first, right? So in verse 1, we see him turning to the Lord, and then now he's ready to fight. So he turns, and then he addresses those that oppose him and says, why are you treating my honor this way? He says, mighty men, why are you treating me with such contempt? Will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? He's rebuking them and he is telling them, this is wrong. Loving what is worthless. And tonight, loving what is worthless is wrong. It's called idolatry. And we raise idols in our life that are absolutely worthless. I have, and I have to be very careful to keep them plucked down. To cast down and plucked out. Why do you love what is worthless? What is worthless? What is vanity? What is vexation? What is fleeting wind? Everything under the sun. That's not the Lord.
Amen.
You put your hope in your spouse. You put your hope in your friends or your family, your banking account, or whatever, any increase that you might have. Why do you love what is worthless? And aim at deception. Why is your direction? Why is your path? Why is your target set on deception? See, David is speaking very clearly to them. And I'm going to tell you the reason why here in just a moment, because he's going to present the gospel to those that are against him. Verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. Listen to it. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. Not that any man is godly outside the Lord and the Lord looks down and sees a godly man and says, oh, I want that one. I'm going to set him apart. No. In his sovereign will and in his sovereign grace and his sovereign election, the Lord has called people to work for him. He has set those people apart just like he did King David. Just like he did Job. Just like he did all of the other ones. Those that he has chosen. Those that he has elected. He has done this for himself. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. And because that righteousness has been imputed unto us, because the Lord has done that work and the Lord has set us apart, then it will be the Lord that will hear our cry and our prayer. We got to understand what's going on. David is speaking to those that don't know him. David is speaking to those that are coming against him. And David is telling them who he is in the Lord. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. In reverence. Tremble or in awe. Do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. It would have been real easy. Let's just take David's instance. David's situation for a second. It would have been real easy for David to have lost his cool when all this happened to him. Been real easy. But remember who he's still talking to. He's still talking to the sons of men out of verse 2. So he's telling them, meditate. Think about what's going on. Think about what you were doing. Think about it. Meditate upon your bed. Be still and listen for the Lord. This is for David. This is for the sinner. This is for us. And the night watches when everything's quiet. When all the chaos of the day is gone. Listen for the stillness of the Lord. Be still. Settle down and listen. We're going to see why here in just a moment. Listen to what it says in verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness. And trust in the Lord. David begins to preach here to these men. These sons of men. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in the Lord. He's still speaking to them. And he's telling them, don't love what is worthless. Don't aim at deception. Lay on your bed and ponder your ways. Then he tells them in verse 5, listen. To offer the sacrifice of righteousness or the sacrifice that takes away sin. They had to offer a sacrifice to take away sin. And we know in the Old Testament that that sacrifice always pointed to the one that was to come that would ultimately take away and do away with sin, Jesus.
Amen.
We know in this verse the sacrifice of righteousness that all the Old Testament points to is Christ. So here in this verse, David, he is preaching to God the gospel to these that don't believe, to these that are coming against him. Bring before the throne of God this sacrifice of righteousness. What is the sacrifice of righteousness? How do we come before the throne of God? Only through Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe in you, Jesus. Yes, I believe that you are the perfect sacrifice. You are perfect. You are awesome. You are holy. We can only come through you. We can only bring you. The only thing we have to offer is your righteousness, is your perfection, is your purity. That is it. And this is what David is telling them. Bring, offer the sacrifice of righteousness. Offer up Christ Jesus and trust in the Lord. This is what he's telling them, and I'm telling you the same thing tonight. The message is no different from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Offer up the sacrifice of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. Place your hope, your trust, all your seed money, everything that you got, place it in Christ Jesus and trust in the Lord. This is what he's saying right here in chapter 4. He's preaching to the gospel to the people that don't even like him. That don't like him. They hated him, actually. Verse 5. Verse 6. Starts the third part. So we got verse 1. That's the first part where he directs himself and his attention to the Lord. Then 2 through 5, which is going to be addressing those men that were coming against him. And then in 6 through 8, we're going to see what happens here. Listen to what it says. Many are saying, those that were with him. Those that were with him. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Those that were around him were beginning to even get low. He says, who will show us any good? Many are saying this. Who will show us any good? It kind of sounds about like America right now, doesn't it? Who will show us any good? Well, we've put our hope in government. We've put our hope in elected whoever. For nothing. Our hope is not in that. People, even after they see the goodness of God, have a tendency to go back. They're right here with the king. They're right here with David. And they still turn their attention somewhat and say, who will show us anything that's good? David was in a bad spot. He was in a bad place. But listen to his response. Many are saying, who will show us any good? And then his response is, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. He says, lift it up around us, the light of your countenance. Lift it up and bless our hearts, Lord. This is what David is saying. David would rather have the blessing of God in inner peace and in contentment inside and peace of God inside than all the other things that were outside. David, that's all he wanted. This is why he was a man after God's own heart. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. Listen to what he says. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Lord, you've put gladness in my heart. You ever been truly glad in the Lord? I have. I have. And in those moments, because I think there's moments that we stay in longer than at other times, because we let the world creep in and steal that joy and that gladness from us. But in those moments, you know that it's the Lord, and there's no other place you'd rather be. No other place that you'd rather be. I hate to express it as a feeling, but it's almost as if your heart is going to explode or your stomach is going to swell up to where you just can't contain the gladness that is inside. Sometimes it's hard to see on men because we got pretty good poker faces. Right, Shelton? Pretty good poker faces. But just because someone doesn't have a smile on don't mean they're not glad in heart.
Amen.
Only the Lord can bring this. Listen to what David says. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than when their wine or their grain and new wine abound. Here's where peace comes in at. David goes and he compares the wheat and the wine that increase. He says, Lord, you've put more gladness in my heart than any time the harvest has come in. I'm going to tell you something. When our corn came in over here and it got blew over and stood up and the Lord resurrected it and blew over and he resurrected it again and then I picked it, I was so happy. You don't even know I was so happy. But in the middle of all that, there was still work. And in the middle of all that, I was still saying, wait a second, Casey's in Kentucky. I'm by myself. This is not all that fun. But I'm really glad that I got it. But it compares nothing to the gladness that the Lord Jesus gives me in the midst of a dark situation. It compares. It doesn't compare at all. Peace and godly contentment cannot be found even in the abundance of any increase found in the world. It just can't. You say, well, maybe my ship will come in and I'll have abundance and I'll have increase. If you can't be happy with the little bit that you have, I promise you a lot is going to make you worse. Plain and simple. This is what David is saying here. He says, Lord, you have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. So we see that only the Lord can put that gladness there. By show of hands, anybody ever experienced that gladness? I have. And it's indescribable, Dickie. I can't describe it. I try to with a feeling, or I try to with scripture, or I try to with an experience, but I can't describe it because it's from the Lord, it's from above, and it just... It's kind of like drinking this water. You got to taste it. You got to see it. You got to taste it. You know? Listen to what it says in verse 8. In peace. In peace. So he says all that, and then he says, in peace, I will both lay down and sleep. For thou alone. If you got a pen, mark that in your Bible. For thou alone, O Lord, dost make me dwell in safety. David tells us finally, when we fully trust in the Lord alone, when we fully trust in the Lord alone, not in our increase, not in wine and not in corn or not in money or finances, but when we fully trust in the Lord alone, nothing else compares with Him. When we fully trust in Him alone, peace and sleep will be given to us. You know, this is the resounding theme that goes all the way through God's Word. And you know, as a minister, you think at times, well, I'm just beating a dead horse. But whether it's in Genesis or in Psalms or in the Gospels, Jesus saying in Himself, peace is only to be had in the Lord God. That's it. And that's a simple concept to hear and to understand, but yet again, it's so hard sometimes to fully experience. But I think what we can see from this is David admonishing these men to turn to the Lord. I see David putting his trust fully in the Lord, even in the darkest of hours. David is fully trusting in the Lord. And he says, because of this, I can lay down and sleep in peace and be safe. Though everybody was hunting his head. You ever had anybody hunting your head? I personally have not. David had people hunting his head. They wanted him dead. He says, I can lay down and close my eyes and go to sleep in peace and in safety. Why? For he trusted in the Lord and in the Lord alone. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight, and we do thank you for your passage, Lord, that